Hey everyone, my name's Nick Brandt. I'm one of the senior leaders here at Circa Riders. I want to welcome you to the Circa Rider podcast. If you don't know us, we're a YWAM missional community based here in Huntington Beach, California. Our passion is Jesus. Our mission field is our generation. And we believe our opportunity is now. I want to sincerely thank you for being a part of our broader community. Enjoy this podcast.
I'm going to jump into my message in just a second as well, but I did want to say I feel like we're kicking off 2025 with a few key things that we think God is wanting to emphasize to us individually, but also to this crew as Monday Nighters that gather. And so last week, Zach Nash kicked us off. Did you guys enjoy the message with Zach last week? Me too. I just feel like some of the things that really struck me, I want to remind us of, because we're really going to launch off of the foundation that he set. We're going to keep going off the foundation of what Zach set last week. He said this. He said, you can't have a casual and superficial expectation of God. A lot of Zach's message was that we've got to lift our expectation of who God is and what we expect of God in our lives. Amen? I love this line. We got to get out of the house of fear and move into the house of love. Our daily lives cannot be dominated by the voice of fear. We've got to move in to the goodness of God, that he is for us, he's not against us, that he loves us, that in 2025, he didn't all of a sudden change his character. He still loves us. He's still after us. Amen? He said this would be a year of miracles where the power of God's breaking in on Monday nights. The kingdom would be at hand. Man, I'm telling you, last week stirred me up with expectation that God wants to continue to meet with us. Over the last 3.5 years, I can't tell you the number of people that have come up to me and said, man, what's happening on Monday nights? It seems like it's really growing. God's doing amazing things. How would you summarize it? And the exploits are amazing. The souls being saved are amazing. But the last 3.5 years, I feel like words can't quite summarize. I just keep saying it like this. I feel like God has put his hand down. I feel like God is always with us. We know that scripturally. We're going to find that out tonight. But I feel like God has been manifesting or revealing his presence among us week after week in such a tangible way that words kind of fall short. Can anybody else resonate with that? That when we come together, God is in our midst. And he's here tonight. I'm going to say, he's in our midst. It wasn't just a good goosebump during worship. It wasn't just a good feeling. No, God's presence has been meeting us, and he is in our midst tonight. And so tonight you're going to get a heart message from me. This is a message that it's something that has so transformed my life. When I first started following Jesus, what I'm going to talk about tonight, it became not only a hallmark of my life, but it has become like an ultimate pursuit of my life. And tonight, as we look at a new year with so much before us, I want to encourage you that God might have a priority for your life as well tonight. Have you ever gotten like overwhelmed at the beginning of a year thinking about, this is what I'm going to set my goals for? Did any of you go like, man, I'm going to make so much money this year, it's going to blow your mind. I'm not starting one business. I need 7 streams of income tomorrow. Or maybe you're like, man, physique's been kind of lacking a little bit. I'm not just joining CrossFit, dude. I'm 24/7, dude. I'll throw a Planet Fitness in there for fun, man. I'm getting at my physique. I got you, babe. I'm going to get after it in 2025. Oh, but man, if I do finances and physique, most important thing, I'm going to become Bible man this year. And all of a sudden, I'm like, yeah, man, I'm going to read this Bible not once, not twice, but thrice. I'm going for it. I'm getting in there. I've done it once before, man. Actually, though, I don't want to just be a Bible man. I want to be a prayer man. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. 15 minutes? Not anymore. We're going 30. Oh, yeah. I might turn it up some days. Hour. Maybe a little encouragement from my family. Maybe an hour and a half sometimes. Hey. Oh, but wait. There's even more. I'm a dad. Hold on a second. I'm going to be the ultimate dad this year now. My kids will become the greatest athletes the world has ever seen. Now. No, they are mini LeBron James now. But not just that, they are also brilliant. Straight A's, aren't they in preschool? Doesn't matter. And there's more. My kids, man, I've seen those YouTube videos, man. Those kids are just like on fire for God. Look out, dude. He's going to be preaching here next week. Six-year-old Parker, man. I'm going to be the best dad in 2025, but that's not it. I'm going to add even more. I'm a husband. 8 years in, we're just getting started. You think you've seen romance, Lindy? Get ready. Oh, yeah. Dates. Notes, cards, Bible verses prayed over you daily. Not 30 minutes, but an hour and a half. But then all of a sudden something happens. I'm starting to look at my list. And I go, oh my gosh, this is amazing. But this requires a 47-hour day. And that I don't sleep. And maybe some of you guys are like achievers like me, and you're like, man, anybody ever get like 17 things in January, and by February you got like two left and you're like, I'm stoked on these two, let's ride the wave. Or maybe you've had some not so successful years, the next year you're like, man, I'm not doing the New Year's resolution, I'm not doing the priority thing, I'm just cruising with the Holy Ghost. Honestly, man, that's me this year. I'm just riding, honestly. Okay, so here's the deal. In a new year, I love the new, Zach talked about it last week, because there is that opportunity to kind of reset, set priorities, get things going anew. That's encouraging, isn't it? And I have no problem with goal setting. Actually, I love it. It's healthy. I think it's good to have goals in your life. But I do want to propose that having the right goals at the highest priority is so important for our life. And I think the Lord is coming after our hearts tonight that we would have the ultimate priority fixed in its proper place for the year of 2025. But before we get to that, we got one more story, and I want to go back in time to high school Chase, 17 years old. There was no New Year's resolutions. There was only fun. And there was only a young adult that was looking for the God of the Bible that he had heard from a youth, from his Baptist church, from his Christian school, all growing up. There was this young man that loved Jesus. He loved the idea of not going to hell. That sounded really good. Anybody love that idea, right? Anybody, I think I preached this before here. Was anybody like a serial salvation prayer? Thank you for three people being honest with me. A serious salvation prayer. Like as soon as I thought about hell, like just in case, Lord, I repent. I want to be saved, man. But what I found, there was something lacking in the 17, 18-year-old Chase. There was something deep inside of me that was groaning for more than just a ticket out of hell. There was something deep inside of me that said, there's got to be more to the God of the Bible that I've heard about. There's got to be more in my own experience of God than just a prayer that gets me out of here. There's got to be more of him available. And I remember I was at this crisis because I knew what the Bible said about sin. I knew you weren't supposed to have sin in your life. And so then I had this pattern. I'm at a Christian school, man. I'm kind of popular in the school. Things are good. But I have hidden sin going on in my life. And so here's what I did. You guys ever done this? To overcome hidden sin, I just tried to perform my way and do like really good stuff. Totally biffed. Instead of confessing my sin, asking for mercy, I'm just going to go be really nice, smile, be super kind. I'm going to earn my way into a great relationship with God. And I realized I was on this cycle of not being able to get free of sin and at the same time wanting to live a righteous life because I was scared of living in eternity without this God that I had read about and heard about. And at the same time, when I thought about heaven, can I tell you what I thought about? Can I be honest? It sounded boring. It didn't sound exciting to me. And I realized deep in my heart, if I was totally honest, there was something in my relationship with God that was missing. There was something in my understanding of God and experience with God that was missing. Well, 18-year-old Chase turned 19, and one of his friends went to do this thing called a YOMDTS. He's encountering God like crazy in ways that I had never experienced to that point in my life. And if you've had a friend encounter God in tangible, profound ways, you get stoked. Anybody get excited about that? Maybe you're here tonight because somebody came to a Monday night and they got encountered like, dude, you got to come. Something happened. I experienced. If you're here tonight, this is one of your first times, man, you're in a great place because I'm telling you, God has something for you tonight. So my friend's encountering God. He's like, Chase, dude, God's real. I'm like, yeah, dude, I get it. We've known each other since kindergarten. I get God's real. He's like, no, like, you can experience the God of the Bible. And he said this line, like, his presence is real. And I started to search the scriptures. I signed up for this training school. I went, and as I searched the scriptures, and I started to see in the eyes of some of the preachers that were really moving my heart, they had an insatiable desire for the presence of God. They wanted to be in his presence more than anything else. And at that point in time, if I was honest, I wasn't that excited, but it's because I hadn't tasted and seen that he was good. I had heard so much. I knew the truth. I knew what was right. I knew what I needed to do. But the truth was I had not tasted and seen that the Lord was good. Now, this was a hard message for me to pick my favorite scripture to display what it looks like to live with an insatiable desire for the presence of God. I'm going to focus in on one, but if you look throughout Scripture, from the time of Adam and Eve, there's a storyline throughout Scripture that you and me weren't created just for salvation one day. We were created to live in communion in the presence of God. And there has been a storyline since Adam and Eve sinned and fell and left the garden. There's been a storyline, not of us restoring things, but of God himself restoring things. He wants us to be in his presence more than we want to be in his presence. And there's an unfolding storyline that I want us to get caught up in tonight. And I want us to realize something tonight of where we live. Because I think a lot of times when it comes to the presence of God, it becomes common Christian language and we limit our experience in the presence of God. I think there is so much more to discover in the presence of God, and I want to prove that tonight. Can we go to Exodus 33? You guys ready? You got your Bibles tonight? Okay, we're going to dive into the Bible for a number of minutes. I got a lot of verses in here tonight. Now, context for this storyline and why I chose this one, not just because I love Moses, and, you know, I named my middle son, my oldest son, his middle name is Moses. I didn't do it just because of that, but I love Moses' storyline. Because this was a key to my heart getting unlocked in hunger for God's presence. So here we are. Context for this, Exodus 33, is Exodus 32. Could you imagine? So Exodus 32, Israel has made a major mistake. At this point in time, the nation of Israel had been liberated from bondage in Egypt. They were set free miraculously by God, 10 plagues in Egypt. The Red Sea parts, and Moses leads an entire nation through the Red Sea into the desert. They're set free from slavery, right? And as they're going around the desert, there's some complaints, there's some miracles, things happening. But at one point, God leads them to this mountain, and Moses goes up on Mount Sinai, right? And he's up there for 40 days. Everyone say, that's a minute. Okay, and this isn't a normal 40 days. Like, this mountain is like on fire. It's like smoke. God has come down, like his presence has descended in a tangible, physical way where they see it. He's come down on the mountain, right? And Moses is up there for 40 days. Now, the people had been set free of Egypt, but we find out that Egypt hasn't fully been set free out of them. And so while he's up there, the people come to Aaron, Moses' brother, and they're like, hey, take all our gold and make a god for us. Everyone say, no! Though they had been led out by the presence, there was a cloud by day and a fire by night leading the whole nation. While Moses is up there, we're like, we don't know what's happened to Moses. He's been gone for a minute. Hey, Aaron, I have an idea. Make for us gods like where we came from. Take me back to where I came from so that we can say these are the ones that rescued us and saved us. And then a gnarly party breaks out with it. So Aaron gets all the gold, gold in the fire. Boom, makes a golden calf, right? Well, God isn't pleased with this. He had rescued this nation, right? He had set them free. And when Moses comes down, he's so upset is that he's got these two tablets with the law. He throws it down, breaks it, because Israel had missed it, right? And so in Exodus 33, we are at the scene after this where a plague had broken out. Terrible things have happened. We're at this scene in Exodus 33 where what's going to happen now to the nation of Israel? where are they going to go from here? After missing it so badly, what's going to happen from here? Let's pick it up in verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "Depart, go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your offspring I will give it. I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey." Pause. So far, you're like, wow, did not see this coming. We missed it, but you're going to drive all these guys out. You're going to give us great land and a great life. Here's what happened. God says, "But I will not go up among you, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people." That stiff-necked word right there just is like a stubbornness. They were a stubborn people stuck in their ways. So God's like, my mercy right now is you have sinned so greatly. If I go up with you right now, I'll consume you. God's just. Sin has to be judged. We don't love to talk about it, but it makes his mercy greater. Sin has to be judged. So God said, I'm not going to go up with you. Now, the people respond. When the people heard this disastrous word, they mourned, and no one put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, "Say to the people of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. If for a single moment I should go up among you, I would consume you. So now take off your ornaments that I may know what to do with you." Therefore, the people of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments from Mount Horeb onward. Now, this is not a good situation. The presence of God is no longer going to go up with you. And yet, we have a man we're about to find out that had a relationship with God that was about to change everything, and he's in a type and a shadow of the ultimate man. We're about to see a picture in Moses right now that I want us to grab a hold of tonight. I want us to see Moses' response to this situation, and I want us to grab a hold of it tonight. Now, Moses, verse 7, used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp. And he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would rise up, and each would stand at his tent door and watch Moses until he had gone into the tent. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. Okay, so picture the scene. Moses, faithfully walking with God, now sets up a tent of meeting outside the camp, but they can still see him over there. And they're like, oh my goodness, the presence, the cloud, it's still coming down. Moses is still living in the presence of God. And did you catch this? Everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting. If you wanted to seek the Lord, you went out to where Moses was. You left the camp and you went out to where Moses was, who had an encounter with the presence of God and lived in the presence of God. Now, when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship, each at his tent door. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Okay, bummer news for the whole nation so far, but we still have Moses, right? He sets up his tent, and the presence of God is still meeting him day after day, and he is speaking with God face to face as a man speaks with a friend. I don't know about you, but if this is what Moses was getting into before the cross of Christ, there's more available to us today. He was speaking with God in an intimate friendship way. He had developed a history in God, a faithfulness in his pursuit of God's presence, that God was still meeting with Moses. But get ready. It gets even better. You guys ready? We're going to continue our Bible journey. Here we go. Verse 12. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." Okay, this is the verse where Moses, based on his experience of the presence of God, he is now moving in to intercession for the people of God. He's saying, if I've found favor, show me your ways. And by the way, God, this nation is the people. These are your people. The ones that you told Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you gave them the promises that they would be distinct among the peoples of the earth. He's starting to make his appeal to God to have mercy on the nation of Israel. God, would you remember? Don't leave us. If I've found favor, if I'm your friend, if you love me, don't depart from these people. Don't depart from these people. Remember these people. Let's keep going. And he said, this is verse 14, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Verse 15, and he said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. If your presence does not go with me, do not bring us up from here. I don't know about you, but I don't want a good year of exploits void of the presence of God. I don't want to grow in my head knowledge of Christ here and not be transformed in my heart knowledge and experience of Jesus here. I want my life, every aspect of my life, to be saturated in a living, real presence of God relationship where anything that he would put before me, the presence of God would touch. Because without it, it will end up being empty. So Moses is saying, if you don't go up with us, I don't want to go. There is no promised land without God. God, you are my promised land. I found something in my experience of you that if you don't go, I don't want to go. I'm telling you tonight, this cry in Moses, we're going to keep going. This cry in Moses' heart, I feel like it's going to touch our hearts tonight. Lord, I don't want to go through 2025 staying at the same place I am of knowing you in relationship and experiencing your presence. I want your presence to touch every aspect of my life. Let's keep going a little bit longer. Verse 16, for how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? You know what distinguishes a Christian from a non-believer? It's not just how nice and loving. It's not just that we do the right thing. It's that all of the things that we do are saturated in the presence of God. God's presence in your life is the distinguishing factor from anything else in your life. Here we go. For how shall we know that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not your going with us so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken, I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Man, everyone say the good news is it's picking up, right? The good news is coming. Here we go. Now, at this point in the storyline, if I'm Moses, I'm pretty encouraged. Not too long ago, no longer was God going up with his people. God has heard his prayer of intercession. God has responded so mercifully to the people. He's like, he restores it quickly. Yeah, all right, my presence will go with you. You got it, Moses. I've heard your prayer. But I love what Moses is about to pray, because when you think about what he's about to pray, it wouldn't make sense if he was ready to settle on where he was at in his relationship with God. Check this out. Don't miss this. Moses said, please show me your glory. Now, this is fascinating because Moses has already experienced, at this point in his walk with God, a burning bush with the presence of God that didn't get consumed with fire. He's already experienced the presence of God delivering an entire nation out of Egypt. He's already experienced a cloud by day, a fire by night. He's already experienced a tent of meeting where the presence of God is coming down and he's speaking to God face to face as with a man. He's already experienced on Mount Sinai these 40 days in the trembling presence of God getting the law. Like, Moses has experienced God in profound ways. Can we agree with that? But when you've tasted and seen what he's like, there never comes a day where this heart cry doesn't grow louder and louder and louder. The only way it does is if we get off track through self-righteousness or sin. But the more you walk with him, this cry will go louder and louder. I've tasted and I've seen, I've experienced it. Now show me your glory. I love every single thing I've seen, but show me more, God. Where I've been is good, but I want more. I'm thankful for every way that I've seen you in the Word, but show me your glory this year in the Word. there's a cry in Moses' heart. One commentator put it this way. His request, "Show me your glory," is somewhat odd since he had witnessed God's glory previously. That Moses and God communicated directly. It seems then that Moses desires to know more of God's character and person than he has experienced to this point. Is there anybody, and I know this is almost probably all of us, here tonight, they're like, "I want to experience more of God's character and nature this year. I want to have Moses' cry be like my cry. Like, Lord, I don't want anything I do to be void of your presence. Jesus, come invade every area of my life. I want to experience you and your glory more than I ever have." Man, I have good news for you guys. Here's the rest of the story. He said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I'll show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock, and while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock. I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." Okay, Moses, bold request, right? Now, you can't actually see my glory because you'll die. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put you up on a mountain. I'm going to tuck you in a cleft in the rock. Then I'm going to cover you with my hand until all my glory passes by. I'm going to lift my hand. I'm going to let you see like a glimpse of my back barely. Moses. Yes! I'll take it! More of him! And what happens then in the next chapter when God comes down and he proclaims his name? You know what happens when he experiences his glory? He gets a revelation of God's character and nature. God's glory isn't just a goosebump. It's a heart revelation of who he is and experiencing that. His glory has a weight. It has an experience to it. In verse 34, it says this, when the Lord passed by him, proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And Moses quickly bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Do you ever wonder why we gather every time and we always spend time in worship? Because as you get into the character and nature of God and who he is, the only fitting response at the end of the day is, "We worship you. You're worthy of it all. Your love is far greater than I thought. Your faithfulness, your mercy, it abounds. You're greater than I experienced last year. It's better than I thought." Now, the good news doesn't stop here. Moses goes on, and this was his personal encounter with the presence of God. How many of you guys would want more personal encounter in the presence of God this year? Okay, we're going to get to some practicals, but take Moses' model. Find a place where you can seek God alone. Get around other people like Joshua that are in the presence of God. And pursue it and ask and seek him in prayer. And we'll come back to that in a minute. Now, the story doesn't end, though. For the people of Israel, they had been given instructions on building a corporate place of worship. It's called the tabernacle. Everybody say tabernacle. Are you guys still with me? Are you enjoying the Bible journey tonight? Okay, so Israel then has the tabernacle, and they finish building all the parts of it. They get the gates for it. They get the altar. They had this place called the Bronze Laver. They got the inner courts, the holy place. They build the ark that goes in the Holy of Holies. They build all these parts, and they set up the tabernacle at the center of Israel now because the presence of God is going to go with them. Thank you, Moses' intercession. So the presence of God is going to be at the heart of the nation, right? And it says in Exodus 40, when they finished constructing the place of worship, they obeyed God fully because repentance isn't just saying, "I'm sorry." It's then obeying God fully. They finish it. They set it up, and you know what happens? The presence of God descends on that tabernacle. And the glory of God floods where the nation then can see and experience the presence and glory of God. There's a corporate expression then that overflows from an individual's pursuit of God's presence and life. Now, you might be saying, "Well, that was Moses, man. He got the law. I don't feel like Moses. I feel like regular Joe right now. I feel like I woke up this morning. I didn't feel any goosebumps, man. I was just like, I was desperate for coffee, dude, man. I just needed it. I needed something just to get out of bed, just to get to work, man. I don't feel like I'm close to Moses." I want to encourage you tonight that we live in a time of really good news. And like Zach said last week, we've got to get our expectations up about how God wants to meet us. Mark 1:15 says this, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. repent and believe the gospel. See, this is what Moses has experienced in the old covenant. This is what he tasted. But there came a transition because of Jesus. The kingdom of heaven is now at hand. The king is on the earth. Repent and believe the good news. Now, I've got to comment on this really quick because we're going to repent a little bit tonight, okay? And this is like a core culture in Circle Riders, but I felt from the Lord. There might be some new people here tonight. Is anybody new here tonight? First time? Okay, we're pumped you're here. Number of hands. We've got a culture of joyful repentance in Circle Riders. And the reason we call it joyful repentance is because we don't look at repentance as a bummer. We look at it as one of the greatest gifts that God has ever given us. The end result of a transaction of repentance is you get to turn away from sin that is killing you, ruining your life, change direction, turn to God, get forgiven of all that sin, where he won't even remember it anymore, and you get to establish new patterns of living and following Jesus, and it's all by mercy and grace. When you repent, it's a change of the way you think. This is a gift from God. Repentance isn't a bummer. It's an opportunity to walk in the presence of God. It's an opportunity to walk forgiven of sin. It's an opportunity to give Jesus what he is worth, which is our hearts forgiven. So repentance is a gift. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's in our midst. It's here now among us. Now, we're going to keep going on the good news. Now, remember that place, the tabernacle, where the presence showed up. Well, once Israel took the promised land, they set up this thing called the temple. It was like a permanent location. David had the heart cry for it. Solomon built it. There was a few different versions. That's really a lot of history, super fast. But they had this place of worship at the heart of Israel where the presence of God was known. Like, that's where it's at the Holy of Holies. That's where, like, the raw, unfiltered presence of God is at. Well, something happens at the end of Jesus' life that is a game changer for you and for me. A new covenant gets established by Jesus when he dies on the cross. There's a lot of good things that happen on the cross. The good news, man, we're going to be unpacking that for the rest of our life. But there's something I want us to realize tonight. I think sometimes we limit it way too much. So I want us to grab a hold of this tonight. In Luke 24, let me find it real quick. Luke 23, verses 44 and 45. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. The curtain that Luke is referencing is the curtain to the holy presence of God. The high priest could go into this place one time, once a year, and the veil is torn top to bottom when Jesus dies on that cross, when he sheds his blood. It wasn't just that there was access in for us. Jesus was saying, like, oh, the blood that could cleanse a sinner has finally been shed. I'm coming for them. The presence of God is not going to be contained to just one location. In fact, it's going to be in you and me. The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives where? Do we believe it? No, I'm telling you, I'm preaching to myself. Do I really believe that the manifest presence of God wants to dwell in our midst? I think we would approach our times alone with God a little differently. I think our personal pursuit of God, if we believed that the veil was really torn and the blood really did what the blood did, I think we would grab a hold of Zach's exhortation last week and say, I'm going to encounter the presence of God more than I ever have this year. Not by my merit, but because Jesus made a way. He made a way for me. I got one more verse before we're going to respond, but I want to go back to 18, 19-year-old Chase. And I started to get revelation of this. And I was in that cycle, remember, of sin, and I was in that cycle of performance. Well, the first few weeks of my training school, God took me on a journey of confessing all my sin. And you know what I found out? It wasn't as big of a deal as I had made it. For years, I didn't want to tell anybody the darkest, worst things that I had done. In high school, the sexual sin, the things that I was struggling with, I didn't want to tell anybody. Because I thought, as soon as I tell a real Christian, man, they're going to think I'm a fake Christian and I shouldn't even be hanging around them. But what I found was the exact opposite. As soon as I confessed what was really going on in my life, what I found was that there was a liberty and a mercy waiting for me. I share this all the time when I'm preaching, but it was like 3 weeks in, and I kept confessing like what I felt was like the worst thing I'd ever done over and over. And I didn't know the Holy Spirit's voice that clearly yet, but he interrupted me and said, "Chase, quit making your sin bigger than my blood. I forgave you the first time." And I think some of you are here tonight, and you've carried maybe mistakes from your past. You're in cycles of sin, and you feel distant from God's presence. You look up at the front row sometimes like, "Man, that guy's really encountering God. I could never experience that." It's not up to you to experience God. It's you receiving his mercy. There's a grace available no matter where you're at in your walk with Jesus. It's available to all of us tonight because the blood still speaks. His mercy is still available. It hasn't changed, and I'll never forget it. The first time that I was going to ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because this is where all the Bible truths about God's presence came to life. And I was going to ask God to be filled with the Spirit. Person leading the moment says, "You guys just need to check, see if there's anything else in the way from you experiencing a greater measure of God's presence in your life." And I expected like, "Oh man, he's probably going to bring up that thing I already confessed." And one of the last things God challenged me, I was like, "Chase, you don't love my mercy. You have had pride thinking you could earn your way back in here. I made the way. Receive my mercy. I want to give it." And I'll never forget when I received mercy, I repented of my pride, said, "God, I want to be filled with your presence. I want to know your glory as it can be known. As much in my broken, simple life, I want to know." And I don't have time to go into the moment, but I experienced raw God. And everything in my life, when I experienced the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in my life, everything changed. The Bible came to life. Sin patterns broke. Love was born in my heart for those that I was frustrated with. Everything, the fruit of experiencing God's presence, reoriented all of the priorities in my life. It was no longer, "Can I be better at finances and this and that?" It was like, "Can I know him? And if I can know him, he'll reorient all those things really good." I look back at that moment. It set me on a trajectory. It gave me a heart cry like Moses and David and even Jesus that we're going to look at one more time. I had this heart cry now like, "I want to know his presence. I want to live in his presence. Jesus, whatever it takes, I'll confess anything. I'll come to you. I just got to have more of you." And tonight, I'm going to read one more verse. I'm telling you, the more of God is available for all of us. Some of you are going to taste and see that he is good tonight. And some of you that have been following Jesus, God's going to for a long time, God's going to reignite your heart. That 2025, it's an open door to experience more of God's presence if you just set your mind on him. I'm not guaranteeing no trials. The Bible doesn't guarantee that. But can I tell you, in the hardest times of my life, I've actually experienced more of God when I've turned to him. So come what may, he's coming for you. Mountaintop, valley, normal year, guess what? He's in all of it. It's will we take the steps to turn our attention, our focus towards God and experience his presence flooding every single area of our life. Now, just to drive this home, I got a Bible verse, then we're going to respond. You guys doing okay? 2 Corinthians 3, 7 to 18. It's talking about Moses. "Now, if the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all because of the glory that surpasses it. For what was being brought to an end came with glory. Much more will what is permanent have glory. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold." Everyone say, "Very bold."
Very bold.
"Not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." The veil has been removed when you turn to Jesus. It's not complicated. It's just a wholehearted surrender and turning to Jesus. Because he does not play games with his presence. It's not like I can be halfway there. No, to experience the glory of Jesus, you've got to fully receive that free gift of grace and mercy that Jesus wants to give you. And not only that, you've got to sign up again and again to come in humbly, not by performance, not by earning, but saying, Jesus, I want to be transformed by your presence day after day after day. I want to look more and more like Jesus by the transforming power of his presence day after day after day. How many of you guys want that? Okay. Now I'm stirred up right now. All I want to do is just respond with an emotional prayer, but I'm going to give you practicals first. I'm going to change it up on you real quick. Then we'll respond spiritually and emotionally, okay? We'll do both. Now, when I was thinking about having a lifestyle of the presence of God where we can live with this heart cry, but how practically can we get there? Let's not keep it ethereal. I want to get into the presence of God for real, right? I want to give you guys three things as you make the presence your priority this year. First thing is to put up your own tent and meet with God. Get away from everything and seek him in prayer and the word. Moses took the time to set up that tent and go alone and seek God. Man, I'm telling you, like, seeking God alone, it's like those first 5 minutes. You just got to get over that moment of, like, I don't feel anything and realize it's not about feelings and just pursue him. Whether it's in your room, in your car, whether it's a real tent you want to set up in your backyard, just to make it more real for you, whatever you want to do. I just want you to encourage you to have your own secret place with God. I can't give you my relationship with God. You've got your own. So every single person here, I'm telling you, God wants to reveal himself to you personally more than you think. You just got to make that commitment. Well, how long, Chase? I don't know how long. Just do it with all of your heart. Just pursue him. And for me, the place, the tent of meeting, it's primarily about getting in the word and getting in the place of prayer. Moses spoke with God. Build your prayer language. I could give you a bunch of things, you know, tachys, thanksgiving, adoration. I could give you all these different ways. But I want your heart more to be set on fire tonight just to pursue him in prayer. Get after it in secret. We down for that? Okay, second thing, practical. Get around other individuals who are experiencing and living in the presence of God in the way you want to. I love the story about Moses' tent of meeting because guess what? There was a buddy there. And he didn't leave. Presence with God, but guess what? Moses had an assistant named Joshua. And guess what Joshua did? He remained, right? He wanted to be around the presence. He took care of the tent. He made it a place where when Moses came over, it was set up and ready to go. He was around somebody who was in the presence of God, walking with God in a way that he wanted. If you're not around anybody who is challenging you to go deeper in your relationship and presence with Jesus, get around somebody who will. For me, there was leaders in my life like, man, that guy is on fire. I don't care what if I look like an idiot. I just want to be around him. I want to, what does he know about God that I don't know? I want to taste and experience that. I want to encourage you, get around people that will provoke you. If the people around you are provoking you to party in and half in, half out life, it might not be the people that you want to be around if you want to experience the presence of God. It sounds like they'll take you straight back to golden calf land. You'll build an idol and go back to your old life. You want to be around people that will push you into the presence of God. Number three, when you come together with other believers in a corporate setting like this, come in faith. For God to inhabit the gathering tangibly. Give Jesus what he desired. John 17 is Jesus' high priestly prayer. I'm just going to read one verse for the sake of time. But he said this in John 17. He said, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am. To see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Wait a second. To see his glory, I thought that wasn't possible, Moses. We're in a new covenant. Our expectation is too low sometimes of how much God wants to reveal himself. He loves us more than we think. He's after us more than you think. And the blood has done more than we think. And so I want to encourage you, don't wait for somebody up here or somebody right here or somebody back there to get you excited to come into the presence of God. Come full of faith because you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Come full of faith because Jesus loves you. Come into a place. No, I'm telling you, we are going somewhere together as Monday Nighters. No, this year, it's not just about a few. We are going somewhere together, and I'm telling you, we haven't seen anything yet in the way God wants to pour out his presence. No, there's an increased measure, and we're about to do the spiritual response. We're all going to cry out in just a second for the presence of God to flood Monday nights more than we've experienced at this point. Because I'm thankful where we've been, but man, I want more in 2025, don't you? Aren't you stirred, man? Are you feeling that insatiable hunger in God's heart? He desires it. He wants. All right, I've preached it up enough. Here we go. Can we stand to our feet? Band, you can come back up. Forgot to tell you. There you go. Before we respond totally, everybody, I do have an opportunity. It's just the evangelist side of my heart. I usually can't resist on these Monday nights. I know there's a lot of new people. Friends bring friends, and God's here. He's among us. His presence is here. And I do just want to give an opportunity for any of you that feel like, man, I feel so far from the presence of God, Chase. I feel like probably how you did at 17, 18, where maybe new stuff, but I don't know that I have like a real living relationship with Jesus. I don't know that I'm dead to my sin and alive to Christ. I don't know that I'm born again. I don't know that I'm following God wholeheartedly with my life. I want to say tonight that tonight is mercy for you. That if you're here tonight and you need to start your journey into the presence of God, where maybe religion's tricked you in performing for it, and you want to like, I want to lay down all performance, all religion. I want to lay down cycles of sin. I want to take that step. It might take a minute, but I want to take that step of a total surrender to Jesus. I'm telling you that his mercy is here for you, and by the debt that he paid on the cross, you can be forgiven of anything. There's no heart too far from God in the room tonight. And so if you're here tonight like, man, I need to surrender my life to Jesus. I need to make him Lord. I need to repent of my sin. I need to say yes to following him with all of my heart. I want you to put your hand up and come forward in just a second. I'm going to count to three. I want you just to surrender your life to Jesus. Why do I do a bold move? Just how I do it. Because I think you make a bold confession before Jesus. He'll make a bold confession before his Father. You're not earning salvation. He's giving it to you freely. But we're repenting and we're turning to him. So if you're here tonight and that hunger for the presence, that hunger to be in a love relationship with Jesus is burning inside of you. Your heart might be pounding. Don't resist it. I resisted a few times. And then when I finally gave in to my heart pounding, I laid it all out. Man, I experienced God more than I ever thought possible. So if you're here tonight and you know it's time for you to freshly surrender to Jesus and follow him, not just for 2025, but your whole life. If that's you tonight, can you go ahead and put your hand up and come on forward? Come on. Come on forward. That's awesome. Let's go. Anybody else? Let's go. Come on forward. You can just come right over here. I know it's packed in the house. It's packed in the house. Come on forward right here. Let's go, man. Let's go. Right here. Let's go. It's awesome. It's awesome. Let's go, man. Right here. Let's go. Come on. If you guys, can I get a few prayer team circle riders to come pray with these guys? Some of my friends are going to come pray with you guys a fresh surrender to Jesus right now. Best decision you could ever make. It's going to be an incredible journey in the presence of God. Yeah, just a few staff. We don't have prayer teams tonight, so somebody come help Ian. A few circuit rider staff, you can come over here and help. Moses, help. Okay, Corey's coming. Here we go. They're going to pray with you guys right now. A fresh surrender to Jesus. Okay, for the rest of us tonight, you got the practicals, right? Everyone's got the practicals? There's one thing I want to do right now is, based on the blood of Jesus and what he made a way for, I want us to cry out for the presence of God to flood these nights when we gather. I want every single voice in here, new Christian, been following God for a while, your prayer matters, your voice matters because you have a relationship with Jesus. So if you're here tonight, we're just gonna raise a chorus of intercession like Moses, like, Lord, we want your presence more than we've ever wanted it before. God, we want you to flood Monday nights more than we've ever experienced before. We want you to flood greenhouses. We want you to flood our times at our churches. We want your presence to invade our gatherings around you more than we've experienced to this point. So, in just a second, for 30 seconds, the team will lead us after that. We're going to just worship Jesus. We're going to celebrate his presence. I want us to lift our voice. Now, we're going to pray wild prayers. We're asking for the presence of God to come and flood our midst. We're asking for raw God to come and flood our midst with full faith and expectation. Can we do that together? Okay, for 30 seconds, go ahead, lift your voice. Lord, we're asking tonight, Jesus. Lord, we're thankful for how you've been meeting us, but God, we're asking for an outpouring of your presence on Monday nights, God. We're asking for an outpouring of your presence as we gather before you, Lord. We're asking, Jesus, that you would take us from glory to glory to glory, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the blood that's made a way, Lord. We thank you for the blood that's made a way, Lord. We thank you that the veil is torn, Lord. And there's access by the blood of Jesus to your presence, Lord.
Thanks for listening to a Circle Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.